Israeli forces and forces in Gaza exchanged fire late last night and going on into this morning. That follows yesterday's coordinated attacks near Eilat that left 8 Israelis dead and more than 30 wounded. Those attacks were reportedly carried out by armed Gazans who perhaps had crossed into Israel over the border from Egypt, and this has marked the most serious attack on Israel from Egyptian territories in decades. Today's escalation between the two sides comes just weeks before Palestinians are hoping to get recognition of their statehood from the United Nations. Joining us now, Jeremy Bowen, Middle East editor for our partner, the BBC, and he joins us from Jerusalem. Good afternoon, Jeremy.
Afternoon.
Let's talk first of all about what we know about these attacks and what we don't. I just said there that we think that the attackers came over the border from Egypt. Egypt is denying that. Do we have any confirmation about who was responsible and where they originated?
Well, the Israelis have said that they were coming through the wire. Certainly there were people killed on the Egyptian side of the border, as I understand it. So I think the likelihood is they probably did come out of the Sinai. There has to be, I think, a little bit more of a question mark than there has been about whether or not they came from Gaza. The Israelis have said very strongly that they have hard evidence and they carried out an airstrike which wiped out the leadership of one militant group there. However, the Sinai Desert has been very lawless and increasingly lawless, in fact, since the Egyptian revolution back in January, February. And only a week ago, the Egyptians put more than 1,000 troops with Israeli acquiescence because of the terms and conditions of the peace treaty between the two countries. They put those troops into Sinai to try to do something about the violence within the Sinai area, which has included attacks on pipelines into Israel. So it is possible that those people came out of Sinai with their own agenda, not necessarily from Gaza.
Well, and Jeremy Bowen, you're saying that portion of the northern Sinai close to the Israeli border has become more lawless. And at this point, many people say that Egypt is actually relying on several tribes to take care of security, and they aren't watching out for it at all, as well, because they're so distracted with what's going on in their own country.
Well, Sinai is demilitarized under the terms of the peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians that was negotiated by Jimmy Carter back at Camp David all those years ago. But the tribes there are the Bedouin tribes have always been very powerful, and administering Sinai has always, for the Egyptian authorities, been a question of negotiating with them. Now, since the revolution in Egypt, the police have been, well, pretty invisible at times, to be quite honest, and their police stations have been attacked as well by people within Sinai. And as I was saying, they don't have a big military representation in Sinai under the terms of the peace treaty. So they've sent troops in there to try and do something about the area because the police aren't doing it and the tribes and people going about the way that they want to do that. There's often quite a bit of crime and smuggling going on too. So as a result of that, Sinai at times has not been a comfortable place to be.
We're speaking with Jeremy Bowen, Middle East editor for our partner, the BBC. Let's go back to, you talked about the retaliatory strikes carried out by Israel, in which they say they have evidence of those responsible. And one of them is a group that many people haven't heard of. It's this Popular Resistance Committees. What is this group?
The Popular Resistance Committees have been around for a while, and originally some of the people came from the Fatah group, which is the largest Palestinian faction, which is dominant in the West Bank, but which is pushed out of Gaza, pushed out of the running of Gaza anyway, by Hamas a few years ago. That group have carried out independent action out of Gaza in terms of lobbing missiles and rockets out into Israel. And Hamas, who run Gaza, have at times controlled them, have at times chosen not to control them, have at times, I think, been unable to control them. The resistance committees also had a hand in the capture and subsequent incarceration of the Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, who's been held since 2006 inside Gaza.
Well, we also have, there were some strikes that were taken out against Hamas training and security facilities, and we have this comment from an Israeli official saying, if Hamas didn't give the order for these coordinated attacks, it must have known about plans for such a large-scale attack. That argues that Hamas really kind of has a handle on what's going on, and that's not necessarily the case.
Well, it's hard to say. Hamas do have, they know a lot of, most of, what's going on in Gaza. Now, Israel have said very, very strongly that this has come from Gaza and that they have hard evidence. There's a very different view coming from Palestinians, from the Fatah group. And these are the people who have active security cooperation, the Palestinian Authority, which Fatah people dominate. They have active security cooperation in the West Bank with the Israelis, which the Israelis consider themselves, declare themselves, to be very pleased with. So do American soldiers who've been involved in the training of Fatah, of PA security people in the West Bank. Now, that group have roundly criticized Israeli action this morning. And they've said that Israel is actually deliberately heating up the situation to distract from Mr. Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister's own domestic trials and tribulations, but also because the Palestinians are trying to push at the UN next month at the General Assembly in New York for a recognition of their independence. And the Palestinian line on all of this is that Israel would quite like a flare-up because it will take people's minds off all of that.
Jeremy, before we go, is there any reporting this morning on who it was, if there were any contact between Israel and Egypt over this attack? Who do they even contact to talk about arrangements in the Sinai? You say there were 1,000 troops in there, and there's a demilitarized state in the Sinai because of the old Camp David treaty. But does Israel even have an address or a number to call?
Yeah, there are contacts between the two administrations. Israel has an embassy. Both countries have embassies there. And there's military cooperation. Don't forget, in Egypt, even though President Mubarak has gone, they haven't had elections. And the people running the country are the military. And the military are the people who've had quite close contacts with Israel over the years. Not warm, but certainly ones that exist.
Jeremy Bowen is Middle East editor for our partner, the BBC. He joined us from Jerusalem. Jeremy, thanks so much.
Okay.